Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I'll accompany you 60 minutes ahead for today's edition on February 15, 2019. We would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and others of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news read by our presenter and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. I'm Dolat Pane. Indonesian New Zealand Friendship Council initiates diplomacy from grassroots level. Indonesia and Australia signed CIPA in March 2019. Now the news in detail. The Indonesia and New Zealand Friendship Council initiated a forum titled Sustaining the Spirit of Collaboration in Jakarta on Thursday as a grassroots diplomacy effort. Chairman of the Indonesia New Zealand Friendship Council, Indradi Sumarjan, emphasized that the forum is devoted to the millennial generation as a second-track diplomacy, which is not the intergovernmental level. At the forum, citizens of Indonesia and New Zealand can discuss and conduct diplomacy. During the forum, supported by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the New Zealand Embassy, several relevant topics on cooperation were discussed between the two countries, such as sustainable agriculture, cultural arts and technology, and also innovation. Most speakers at the Sustaining the Spirit of Collaboration Forum are Indonesian citizens who have studied in New Zealand or have collaborated in certain fields with New Zealand's institutions. In the beliefs, there is much to be learned from New Zealand, such as the country's ability to manage agriculture and sustainable food. Indonesia is set to sign a Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, CEPA, with Australia in March 2019, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita stated on Thursday. Indonesia and Australia agreed on CEPA when Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison had paid a visit to Indonesia in August 2018. Indonesian Trade Minister Lukita and Australian Minister of Trade and Tourism and Investment Simon Birmingham had signed a joint declaration of CEPA in the presence of the two countries' leaders. However, the signing of the CEPA was put on hold following Australia's plan to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Total trade between the two countries had reached $8.3 billion last year, with Indonesia suffering a deficit of $3.48 billion. Serbian ambassador to Indonesia Slobodan Marinkovic encouraged the increase of trade cooperation with Indonesia during a recent dialogue with the RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ambassador Slobodan Marinkovic conveyed the importance of direct trade between Indonesia and Serbia. According to him, trade relations between Indonesia and Serbia still involve third parties. He said this is an obstacle to increase trade value between the two countries.
Many products from Indonesia who go to the Serbian market, the raw from Holland, from US, from some other country, but originally product from Indonesia, from coffee, cacao, some spices or some industrial product like shoes or like textile, coming on the name of some international multinational company. And it's very, very relatively. We have to working in direct cooperation between representative company from Serbia and company Indonesia without involved of the third company. Yeah, the profit go in the third part,
parties.
Not divided honesty between two production and two involved company.
Ambassador Slobodan Marinkovic also hope for an increase in relations between communities or people-to-people contact between Indonesia and Serbia. According to him, the tourism sector is one sector that can contribute to increase people-to-people contact between the two countries. He ensures that there is convenience for the Indonesian people who want to visit Serbia. He also called the interest of the Serbian community to visit Indonesia because of their interest in the tourism sector in Indonesia. As many as 50,000 Indonesians living in Australia will vote in the upcoming presidential elections, said Fakhrido Susilo, member of the Indonesian Overseas Election Committee in Canberra, Australia. He said most of the Indonesian students, professionals and diplomats currently living in Australia are eligible to vote. The committee has hosted events at university campus and advertised within Indonesian communities to encourage as many people as possible to register to vote and exercise their democratic right.
The growth of the halal tourism as a growth of the whole tourism in Indonesia is around 20%. So it's why our plan is from 20% to become 25% of all inbound traveler to Indonesia is coming from the halal tourism. 25% means it's around 5 million.
The election in Canberra will be held on Saturday, April 13, 2019. Rido said there are three methods for voting. Votes can be cast through circulating drop box or post office. However, most people have indicated they will vote by going directly to their closest polling station. He also said Indonesians can still register to vote in Australia by contacting the Overseas Elections Committee. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. 10 Indonesian students and one Indonesian school received awards in the 2019 Lidi's Children Fine Art Competition from the Czech Republic government. The awards were given by the Czech Republic Ambassador to Indonesia, Ivan Hotek, on Thursday at the residence of the Ambassador of Czech Republic in Jakarta. More than 20,000 artworks by children from 79 countries were entered in the competition this year. From Indonesia, out of 336 entries that took part, only one student received the medal, whereas 9 others received the honorable mention. The medal was awarded to Kenneth Alvaro Hadinata, the student of Nirvana Visual School, Surabaya, East Java.
So, as I said, this competition was created to commemorate victims of Second World War in Czech city, Lidice, and to commemorate to all of us that usually during each conflict, the most suffering people are ladies and children. And that is why we have to do everything in this modern world to prevent and to avoid all conflict for better future of our children. Doesn't matter if you are Christian or if you are Muslim or if you are Buddhist, but at the end, everyone suffers.
In addition to 10 Indonesian children receiving the awards from the competition, one Indonesian school, Fajar Hidayah Islamic School, was awarded a plaque of acknowledgement for their work in helping educate orphaned children. The ambassador asked all participants to re-enter the competition next year and encouraged their classmates to do the same. The Indonesian government is set to issue $2 billion worth of state Sharia sovereign bond as BSN or Sukuk Wakalah Global to continue its commitment to sustainable green financing. The Sharia sovereign bonds comprise two series with settlement date on February 20, 2019. The Director General of Financing and Risk Management at the Finance Ministry said in a press statement released on Thursday. The first series worth $750 million and with a tenure of 5.5 years is issued at a yield of 3.9% and will become due to August 20, 2025. The second series worth $1.25 billion and with a tenure of 10 years is issued at a yield of 4.45% and will become due on February 20, 2029. Each of the series has secured Baa2 rating from Moody's Investor Service, BBB from S&P Global Ratings, and BBB from Fitch Ratings. the Sukuk Wakala with the registration code S/144A/certificates will be listed at the Singapore Stock Exchange and Nasdaq Dubai. The Indonesian rupiah fell 31 points to close at 14,090 rupiahs per US dollar in Jakarta Interbank Spot Market on Thursday evening on global crude price hike. Money market analyst Faisal of Monex Investindo Future said on Thursday that global crude price hike puts a negative sentiment to the rupiah today. Global crude prices rose after Saudi Arabia, which is the world's main oil exporter, planned to cut its crude oil exports and slash its production further. The rupiah closed at 14,059 rupiahs per dollar earlier. The other cause of rupiah's depreciation against the dollar was domestic sentiments, including the widening current account deficit, which reached $9.2 billion, or 3.57% of the national gross domestic product in the fourth quarter of 2018. Overall, the current account deficit in 2018 was recorded at 2.98% compared to 1.6% of the GDP a year earlier. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The Visit of King Mohammed bin Salman to Asia. This week and next week, several Asian countries will host the visit of King of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. Before arriving in Jakarta next Monday, King Salman will visit Pakistan, China, and Malaysia. The visit to Pakistan consists of more than 1,000 people who would impasse $15 million. Even though it helps a lot, the Saudi Kingdom is not very popular in Pakistan. Even 4 years ago, the Pakistani parliament rejected the involvement of Saudi forces in Yemen. In his agenda, King Mohammed bin Salman will visit China and India. Those two countries become the kingdom's oil consumers. Meanwhile, Indonesia is the destination of the visit after King Salman's visit 2 years ago. There are Saudi Kingdom interests in Indonesia, which are the biggest visitor of the Hajj ritual every year. In addition, there are plans to increase investment after the signing of the agreement, which reached $1 billion. In fact, the Indonesian side hopes for the greater investment. Unfortunately, the signed program has not been implemented. King Mohammed bin Salman's visit in Asia will end in India, where this country will hold its general election. India is a huge oil consumer of Saudi Arabia. For this visit, the situation is not the same compared with the 1-2 years ago. Even the mysterious murder case against Khashoggi may disrupt this visit. 2 years ago, the Saudi Arabia's visit was held and promises were spread for investment. The key point is whether Saudi Arabia wants to realize its investment promises. If not, the King's visit is only an ordinary one. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia, in Today in History. Let's start Today in History by reflecting on the establishment of the Revolutionary Government of Indonesia, which occurred on February 15, 1958. The Revolutionary Government of Indonesia, or PRRI, was one of the opposition movements between regional governments and the central government Jakarta, which was declared on February 15, 1958, based on the ultimatum of the struggle council led by Lieutenant Colonel Ahmad Hussein in Padang, West Sumatra. The movement have great welcome from the North Sulawesi and Central Sulawesi regions, where on February 17, 1958, the two regions stated that they support PRRI. This conflict was strongly influenced by the demands for the implementation of broader regional autonomy. The ultimatum was not a demand for the establishment of a new state or a rebellion, but rather a protest about how the constitution can be carried out. Next, we move on to another historical event on withdrawal of the Soviet troops from Afghanistan on February 15, 1989. The Soviet forces firstly arrived in Afghanistan on December 25, 1979, and the last troop withdrawal took place on February 2, 1989. The Soviet Union then announced that all their troops had been withdrawn from Afghanistan on February 15, 1989. Due to many causes and the futility of the conflict, the Soviet-Afghan War was often regarded as the Vietnam War of the Soviet Union. To end our Today in History for today, we also invite you to reflect on Iraq anti-war protests on February 15, 2003. The protests occurred on February 15, 2003 and followed by 600 cities all over the world, as well as about 10 million protesters. The protest was included into the Guinness World Records as the biggest anti-war rally during the history. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta.
That was a song entitled Sekali Ini Saja, sung by Glenn Fredly. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Indonesia Today's edition, I'd like to give you information in our program Indonesiaku.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today is Export of Motor Vehicles Facilitated. The government facilitates the export of motor vehicles in the form of completely built-up or CBU. The simplification of export procedures is carried out by issuing Regulation Number 01/2019 of Director General of Customs and Excise on 11 February. This includes the simplification of the regulation on the entry of CBU vehicles into the customs area, loading place before submission of goods export notification documents, and income does not require export service notes, and corrections to goods export notification no later than 3 days from the ship's departure. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution at Tanjung Priok in North Jakarta Tuesday said the simplification of the procedures for export of CBU motor vehicles is one of the short-term policies taken by the government. This policy is expected to immediately increase exports. Minister Darmin acknowledged that to overcome the trade balance deficit and the weakening of the current account balance, the government's policies will immediately encourage export, investment, and control import. On the same occasion, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said that the policy objectives will make Indonesia the largest car exporter in Asia. Minister Sri Mulyani also explained the simplification of the rules would simplify the process by integrating data entered into the Indonesia Vehicle Terminal in-house system and the Directorate General of Customs and Excise system, then barcode scanning of the Vehicle Identification Number or VIN for each motor vehicle to be exported. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto welcomed the regulation to encourage automotive export. According to him, this is very meaningful for Indonesian industries that are competing with other countries. In addition, this proves that Indonesian exports are not only commodities. According to him, the automotive industry is a quick-yielding sector or rapidly earns foreign exchange through increased export. The reason is that the manufacturing structure has begun in the steel, chemical, glass, and tire industries. In fact, international trust in national automotive products is already high. That's My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sampingku, ku ingin hidupku selalu dalam kau.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the song entitled Begitu Indah, sung by Indonesian Idol. You are still in with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at the frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, then I would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and it is about the tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Serambang Park. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on www.voinews.id, or you can also hear through frequency 3325 kHz. Director of Operation of Perum Perhutani Hari Priyanto and Region of Ngawi Regency Budi Sulistiono handed over the Certificate of Standardization for the Natural Tourism Management Canopy in 2018 to each person in charge of 7 tourism locations that have been standardized. They are Kawah Putih, Cikole, Curug, Cilember, Puncak Bintang, Guci Asyavana, Serambang Park, and Tanjung Papuma. The submission of the certificate is a follow-up to the implementation of Canopy, which was held on November 11, 2017. Canopy is a brand or identity that is responsible in the various characters of Perhutani's natural tourism with guaranteed professional and quality product standards, services, and management. This is management's commitment to continuously improve the quality of natural tourism products and services. Canopy's standard location offers a pleasant, clean, and adventurous travel experience. Fresh, fun, and adventure. Well, listeners, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder introduce you one of the 7 tourism destinations that obtains Canopy certificate, namely Serambang Park. Being in the middle of the Jogoro forest area, the northeast slope of Mount Lawu, and visiting the area, you are served not only with natural beauty, but also green forest, fresh river water, waterfall, and the cool mountain air can also be felt here. This tourism destination can be reached from downtown Ngawi with a distance of 30 kilometers with a travel time of 52 minutes by motor vehicle. Serambangan Park is open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. To enter here, you must pay an entrance ticket, 15,000 rupiah per person. Listeners, when you enter this tourism area, you will feel the fresh air and hear the chirping of birds. While traveling to Serambang Park, you should visit waterfall, because the waterfall is indeed a major tourism attraction. In the waterfall, you can soak to enjoy the freshness of the water. You can also take a walk to feel the beauty of this tourism attraction. Don't forget to take a photo at the available photo spot. There are various Instagrammable photo spots in Serambang Park, such as Tulisan Serambang Park Ngawi, deretan puluhan payung berwarna-warni, sky tree, various entrance decorations to tourism destination, tree house bridge, and frame love.
Listeners, tourism destination Serambang Park has been completed with various facilities such as a large parking area, restaurants, bathroom, gazebos, and places of worship. For those who want to travel here, it's better to bring an umbrella or raincoat. This is important because it often rains in December and January. Moreover, this destination is in the mountain, which is a catchment area for keeping rain drops. For those who want to stay overnight, you can stay at various hotels that are available nearby at this tourism location, or you can also homestay. Listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Serambang Park. We will meet in another interesting topic for another edition. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia. Thank you.
That's the song title, Aku Hari Ini, sung by Jingga. You are still with us, a voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listener, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happened in Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back in A Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about five Indonesian journalists receive award from the European Union. Stay tuned with us on www.voinews.id. On 9 February, five Indonesian journalists received a prestigious award from the European Union. The award was given by the European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Feng Sang Zurang, thanks to the contribution of these five journalists in raising public awareness about human rights values. This hashtag EU4 Reporter Award is the end of the European Union Awards competition for journalists, which was held in August 2018 and then used the momentum of the Asian Games, Asian Paragames and Border Free Festival. The five journalists are Denti Piawai Nastiti with the article Asian Paragames 2018 Athletes Struggle for Quality, Dikto Oktara Ahmad Yani with the Stars Who Keep Fighting, Eric Purnama Putra with Imagine Seeing Disabled Painting Works, Suci Sekarwati with the Story of Afghan Women Fight for the Rights of Disabled, and finally Yus May Sawitri with the article Asian Paragames 2018, Early Sweet for the Long Struggle. The five journalists were selected based on the set criteria. They are stylistic aspects, which include the structure of articles, focus, and use of quotes. Then content reporting content, writing creativity, depth and balance, and relevance to the promoted values that contain human rights, quality and social issues. The assessment team from the event consisted of Hermine Claden, a media expert, senior writer and editor, Andreas Arsono, a human rights activist, and Florian Witt, who is a political advisor to the European Union in Indonesia. In line with the enthusiasm to be conveyed through the hashtag EU4Journalist Award, the European Union Ambassador to Indonesia, Feng Sang Zurang, said that the media plays an important role in inspiring the public and the government to change attitudes and take action against discrimination and to ensure that human rights apply to everyone without exception. The five Indonesian journalists who have participated in campaigning for human rights through their writing also received a prize of a program of visits to the European Union headquarters in Brussels, Belgium, in April 2019. That was Miscellany for today. We will meet again with other interesting topic. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bila tersayang jatuh di pangkuan, tiada keinginan hatiku menyayang selain dirimu. Bila tercinta seorang semampu diriku, selama bersama akan hanya ada cinta. Semenjak bersama takkan ada hasrat, hilangkan cinta yang telah ada. Sanggupi untuk ku memberi mimpi yang terindah. Selama bersama tiada hendakku berpisah. Oh, oh, selagi bersama hanya ada kita. Coba bersumpah saling mencinta untuk selamanya.
Good.
Voice of Indonesia.
That the song entitled Takkan Habis Cintaku, sung by Lingua. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener Nick segment would like to give you information about the music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Franz Cornelis Dian Bunda composed the song in order Maumere people and tourists who come to Maumere feel happy. The song was composed in 2011 and Gemu Famire began to be well known by Indonesian people in 2014. Along with his little brother, Alfred, Franz, who is also a teacher of senior high school in Maumere, took lyrics of the song from how the way teachers, when he was a little boy, sang the song. Gemu has a meaning to enter into mouth, and Famire is toned in musical scale. Besides the lyrics which were composed in the song, the siblings also created dance movement to make everybody who listened to the song shake their bodies. Listeners, here is Franz and Alfred with their song entitled Gemu Famire.
Thank you.
Listener, we end our Togetherness in English Language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. After this English Language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. Stay with us at Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World and Frequency Shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voanews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, or our Instagram account at voice_of_Indonesia, or via Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion and information to our email address at voi@voinews.id.